Let's now turn in the Word of God to Psalm 130. Verses that we consider together are the first four, 1 through 4, makes up the text. Psalm 130, this is the Word of God. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. That far we read, I'll reread the text, the first four verses. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the psalm that we consider this morning is a penitential psalm. A penitential psalm is one that has in it confession of sin and also sorrow over sin. There are, in the 150 psalms, 7 such penitential psalms. There are, of course, more than 7 psalms that speak about sin and include those elements of confession and sorrow for and over sin. But the 7 penitential psalms really have a theme with regard to that and focus on that. Psalm 130 is one such psalm. You may recall that in connection to the Lord's Supper some months ago, we preached through, and you heard the preaching through Psalm 32, which is another penitential psalm. The occasion for that was David's murder of Uriah, and even before that, his adultery with Bathsheba. Thus, he confessed his sin, and he had great sorrow over his sin. Another penitential psalm. Now, we come in connection to the Lord's Supper to Psalm 130. Lord willing, we'll hear a very short series on this when we come to the table in the coming months. How we need to hear this word about forgiveness. Because you and I have gone through this past week examining ourselves and have seen very well that filthiness of the flesh and spirit, that sin that sticks to us like grime, not only the ways in which we sin with the body, but also in that inward part of us, the spirit. We have felt very really, when we have seen that iniquity, that we are in the depths. And so often we even feel overwhelmed by our sin. We knew those depths this week. So we come to God's house to hear the blessed word of the gospel even before we come to partake of the Lord's Supper. And that blessed word of the gospel is that for the sake of Christ's blood, All our iniquities are forgiven. Beautiful declaration. A reality that we will have signified and sealed for us in the sacrament. So we consider as the theme of the sermon and of the text, a cry from the depths. Let's consider that this is a cry that is made and a cry that is answered. A cry from the depths. What that cry is and that it's made, and then the fact that Jehovah answers that, and then the psalmist's response to that answer of Jehovah. The psalmist was in the depths. Verse 1, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. It was like the psalmist was drowning in the depths of water. Envision for a moment a man who cannot swim. He's in a boat in the middle of the ocean. When unexpectedly he falls out of that boat, but he falls away from the boat so he can't grab a hold of it for refuge and safety. There's that man thrashing around on the surface of the water, madly in a panic. Because he can't swim, even though he thrashes slowly, he begins to sink down. Soon enough, his whole head is submerged in the water. Down, down into the darkness of the ocean he goes, and that outline of the boat is getting smaller and smaller above him. Depths. To change the figure a little bit, as the Psalms use this figure too, it is like the psalmist has fallen into a pit. Now, imagine someone walking through the wilderness, through a marshland, when suddenly, without warning, he falls into a pit. Inside that pit is a mixture of water and sand and mud. But the problem is, when he falls into it, and maybe at first knee-deep, the harder he tries to get out of that quicksand, the more it sucks him down until finally he's up to his waist. The more he struggles, he's up to his chest. It's inching toward his neck and toward his head. For that person who has fallen overboard and is crashing now under the waves, or for that one who is sinking into the depth of that quicksand pit, imagine the kind of distress that they're going through and just how helpless they feel too, because they're going down into those depths. They can't help themselves, and they don't have anyone necessarily around them to help them either. They're just going down. He cried out of the depths. The psalmist was not drowning in the Mediterranean Sea underneath the waves, neither did he fall unexpectedly into some slime pit in the wilderness of Israel. These depths were the depths of his iniquity and the guilt of his sin. That's made very plain by verse 3. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Iniquity. Psalmist knew very well that he had twisted and he marred and therefore perverted, from his own perspective, the perfect law of God, the standard of God for his life. He twisted and marred that. That's what iniquity is. So he did with his sins. Iniquity really is guilt. Because he twisted and marred the law of God that way, he experienced and felt very keenly in himself that guilt over his sin. Guilt is liability to punishment. He knew very well that because of his transgressions, he deserved that heavy judgment, wrath of God upon him. Now that guilt that ate away at his conscience, that burned in his soul, that guilt was like an overwhelming load that rested upon him and pushed him down, 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 and plunged him into the depths of his misery. So heavy was that guilt and so overwhelming was his sin to him that he was totally distressed of soul, filled with panic and fear, just as that person crashing below the waves. And he felt, just like that one singing down into the sinking sand, that complete helplessness too. The psalmist knew very well that he could not help himself. He can't get out of these depths. And he knew equally well that no one else around him could free him from them either. Distress and helplessness. Is that not our experience? Did you know those depths in this last week when you saw your sin? You and I have marred and twisted and perverted that law of God too. We have our besetting sins. Each of us can sit here this morning and say, this is my particular struggle. And we experience, don't you know that, the gnawing pain, the eating away pain of guilt, and how that is such a load upon you and me that just like the psalmist, we feel as if we're sinking down into the depths. We know very well also that it's such a helpless feeling. Because try like we might, we can't get ourselves out. And having good friends and a good spouse like we have, they can't get us out either. It's a total distress of soul, the depths of sin. Maybe sometimes that feeling of the depths of the guilt of sin is felt most keenly when we have committed an especially grievous sin. Or maybe we step back for a while and we look at the big picture. Maybe it's a week or a month or a year. And we say, look at all my sins. And it's so overwhelming to me. The depths. Out of those depths, the psalmist cried. Verse 1, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? That's really the spontaneous response of someone who's sinking down. Of course it is. Someone has fallen out of the boat and is sinking into the ocean. Well, while they're thrashing there on the surface of the water, if there are people in the boat, of course they're going to shout out. Someone is sinking down into that pit of quicksand. They're not going to go down silently and calmly as if nothing is going on. They're going to shout out, cry for help. This is the spontaneous response of the psalmist as he sinks down into the depths. Because he knows that he can't get himself out, and because he knows that God is strong. And Jehovah not only can, but Jehovah is willing to take him out. And he will out of those depths. So he cries out to him. That's exactly what makes the cry as urgent as it is. This is, of course, a prayer. But he says himself, I cried unto thee. Because this prayer is out loud. And it is the anguish of his inmost heart, the anguish of his inmost heart, which is now verbalized. He said, I cried unto thee because I'm in these depths. It's urgent. In fact, he says, verse 2, Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. He won't end his prayer until Jehovah has heard him. It must be that he hears. Not because he's afraid that Jehovah is daydreaming. And it's not either that sometimes the Lord shuts his ears to his people and doesn't hear them. But he puts it in the urgent way that he does. because he's expressing his total dependency upon the Lord to help him as he is in these depths. An urgent prayer. This cry, this prayer that he makes is really this. He's praying about his prayers. If you notice the very form that verse 1 is in, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. It's as if he's an outside observer. He's looking at all of his prayer life, especially his prayers in the past. I have cried unto thee. Perhaps the psalmist remembers all those times that he was in the depths and all those times that he prayed to the Lord. And perhaps he remembers that Jehovah delivered him in those times and was merciful. Now he prays about those prayers. I have cried unto thee. And now I cry unto thee now as I'm in the depths. Have you ever prayed about your prayers? When we get done praying, it's not as if those prayers have no use anymore, but we remember them and we include them in our prayers to God as we are in the depths. As far as the content of this cry, it is an acknowledgement of sin. Verse 3, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? That's where it starts, doesn't it? I have sinned, he says. I have sinned. Acknowledges it, confesses it before Jehovah. Look at the striking way in which he puts it. If thou shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? He addresses him as Lord, lower case letters. Lord, the owner and the master of all things. And the Lord, who is the owner and the master of the psalmist too. As that Lord, he knows everything about the psalmist. His sins too. Here's the scene of a courtroom. The Lord, the owner and master of all things, is the judge. Here's the psalmist. And here are you and I at the bar of justice. And he cries out, if thou shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? What if the Lord took out his book? And for every sin that you and I have committed, he put a mark. 2, 3. What if he put his mind to it and looked upon us and with meticulous detail in his mind recorded everything that we have ever done and remembered that? If the Lord did that as the judge, then he says, who should stand? Who would be able to stand at the bar of justice and say, I have nothing to worry about. I can stand here without any fear because I am righteous in myself. I can stand in my own works and my own merit. The answer, of course, to the psalmist's question is no one. No one can stand in that courtroom and say, I deserve to stand before the judge. The answer of the judge then would be, you're banished from this courtroom. I find you absolutely guilty and I will punish you on account of your sins. That's his answer. If we would stand in our own righteousness. So the psalmist cries out from the depths, if he should mark iniquity, then who should stand? An acknowledgement of sin, but also he beseeches the Lord for his grace. At the end of verse 2, Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Supplication is a beseeching for favor. In essence, he's saying, Lord, I beseech thee for thy favor upon me, thy love and thy grace. See me in thy love. Even though I feel as if I'm drowning in the depths of my iniquity, forgive my iniquity. He beseeches him for that. Urgent, heartfelt prayer. And that prayer, the Lord, the judge, answered. You don't read here in the verses that the Lord answered it, but that's certainly the implication, because later in verse 4, the psalmist himself says, but there is forgiveness with thee. Well, how does he know that there's forgiveness with God? Exactly because that was Jehovah's answer to him in the first place. So implied here is that the Lord answered him. Now remember, he's beneath the waves of that experience of his guilt and sin, feels as if he's drowning. And we feel that way too. And just like the psalmist, here we are, we're standing in the courtroom, we're waiting for the verdict to be handed down. And as we're waiting there before the bar of justice, we have made a mental record of all of our sins. Just of this past week, one mark, and another mark, and another mark. We tremble in that courtroom. And the Lord gives the verdict. His answer to the cry of the psalmist out of the depths is forgiven. The declaration of pardon that God speaks to the psalmist's inmost heart and to your heart and mind, that declaration of pardon, forgiveness, he speaks. The judge who is seated right before us says, I have not marked down your sins in that record book. And I have not taken meticulous detail in order that with my mind I should remember everything that you have done. I haven't done that because I'm Jehovah. The covenant name of God, the name of His grace and His mercy and His love. I find you to be innocent before me. And His answer is also, I do see you in my love. Remember that the psalmist beseeched Jehovah for His favor. That's His answer too. I only and ever see you in my love and grace and love toward you. And that never changes. That's His answer. That's His verdict. But how could that be? Because we know very well that the Lord, as the owner and master of all things, knows about me. And He knows my sin. It's not as if He can put a hand, as it were, to His face and look the other way and say, well, I'll just pretend that they haven't sinned and I'll change my mind about it. So how can it be that the Lord, righteous and just, can say, forgiven? The basis is Christ. Jesus Christ, who plummeted down into those depths for you and for me. Heavy laden with that tremendous weight of the guilt of our sin that was imputed to Him, was driven down and pressed down and sank down into that dark pit of suffering for our sins all His life long. And then that heavy burden of the wrath of God that came upon Him for all that iniquity sank down and down and down. Until finally, in those 3 hours of darkness at Calvary, He reached the very bottom of those depths under the waves of the wrath of God. And He was punished there for all of our iniquities. Went down into the depths. God says, for my people, I will not take out my record book and remember with marks all of their sins, but I will impute the guilt of their sin to my Son Jesus Christ. And all those marks then are transferred to His record, His book, and it's laid upon Him. He's punished for that. But Jesus Christ did not stay in those depths. He could, and He did, stand in God's courtroom, as it were, and stand. While on the cross, He willingly gave up His life, gave up the ghost. After He had entirely sustained that wrath of God, then in the resurrection, He actively took His life to Himself. He had the victory. Didn't stay in those depths, but He came out powerfully and victoriously. So that righteousness and all the benefits He earned at the cross, He could and He did now apply to us, with the result that God looks at you and me and He looks at the psalmist and He says, I behold no iniquity in you. You're innocent. And I see you just as if you had never sinned, because I see you in the blood of Christ. Christ. Sometimes we know the depths because we feel the burden of our sin, but we'll never know the waves of God's wrath. And even when we do feel overwhelmed by our sin, there's forgiveness with God. And in His Son, Jesus Christ, He lifts us up also out of those depths. Isn't that what we have signified and sealed to us in the supper of our Lord? I read you just a couple of phrases from our Lord's Supper form. Christ bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly, from the beginning of His incarnation to the end of His life upon earth, that He was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. Yea, that He suffered His blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that He might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon Himself the curse due to us, that He might fill us with His blessings, and hath humbled Himself to the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when He cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? That He might be accepted of God and never forsaken of Him. Christ, too, cried out of those depths, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? He had the victory. Applies that righteousness to us. Now the psalmist knows that answer of the Lord implied in the text. And knowing that declaration of forgiveness, he can say this in verse 4, but there is forgiveness with Thee. There is forgiveness with Thee. He could pray that. He doesn't just say God is a forgiving God. He says it's with Thee. Maybe you know someone who has a favorite shirt. That person always has that shirt on. In fact, they have it on so often, almost every day, that you hardly know the person apart from their wearing that shirt. It almost becomes a part of their identity. That shirt is always with them. Psalmist declares with confidence, there is forgiveness with Thee. This forgiveness is such a defining characteristic of God that it's with Him. It's almost like a companion that never leaves His side. There's always forgiveness with God. To know Jehovah, the God of the covenant, the God of grace and mercy, is simply to know forgiveness. That's His identity. That's how it goes. It's with Thee. Is it not amazing that the psalmist can come to that point that he prays that confidently and with certainty and assurance? Track the course of his prayer. He began by speaking about the depths. Then he acknowledged his sin. Lord, if Thou shouldst mark iniquity, who should stand? Then he heard that answer of the Lord, that there's forgiveness, with the result that now before this very prayer ends, he can say with all assurance, there's forgiveness with Thee. Isn't that a wonderful thing about your prayers and mine, that even in the very same prayer in which we speak about our sin and how deep we feel in those depths, and after we beseech the Lord for His favor, that He really does declare to us, your sins are forgiven, and we can say out loud in that very same prayer, there's forgiveness with Thee. That's assurance that He works in our hearts. There is forgiveness with Thee that Thou mayest be feared. Do you not sit in wonder this morning? Are you not struck with a reverential awe? And will you not bow down and worship before this Jehovah who abounds in forgiving grace? He forgives us, as the psalmist says in his prayer, that He might be feared by us. He doesn't forgive us so that we can stand then coldly toward His forgiveness and rather indifferently and live our lives as if we haven't been forgiven, but He's done this marvelous work so that we might worship Him. So we come to the table this morning with that kind of worshipful love for God, and that fear of His name. We take those elements, the bread and the wine, with hands that tremble in our fear of Him, the God of abundant pardon. Amen. Our God and Father, Lord Jehovah, we thank Thee for the forgiveness of sins. There is forgiveness with Thee. Forgive our sins then, O God. Declare to us in our inmost heart that we are innocent in Thy sight for the sake of Christ Jesus, Thy Son. And cause that, knowing this forgiveness, even in this very worship service, we might fear Thee. All these things we pray in Jesus' name, for His sake alone. Amen.